thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So let's turn to God's Word. Matthew chapter 6 again. We're working our way through the Lord's Prayer, or what we come to know as the Lord's Prayer. We're pondering the Lord's Prayer. We're looking at it. We're taking our time. We've got no schedule to keep. We've got no bus to catch. We are just parking here and saying, well, Lord, what do you want us to learn from this? How do you want to change us through this? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 5 to 15. So we're opening up our hearts. You know, we all have plans, don't we? And my plan really was to take a phrase every week and go through it. Our Father, week 1. Hallowed be your name, week 2. Your kingdom come, week 3, and so on. And I am so glad that God has other plans, aren't you? I am so delighted that God says, listen, this is what I want you to do. Stop here. Park the bus here. Ponder what Jesus is saying here. And let this shape your life. It's not just a wee pattern for prayer. It's a life transformer. It's a life shaper if we will hear the words that Jesus says to us. So from verse 5 of Matthew 6, Jesus speaking, and he says, when you pray, so there is an assumption from Jesus that we will pray. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. That's their whole motivation, to be seen. Nothing wrong with standing and praying, but the motivation is not to be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm going to try and look this morning at your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. What is that? What does it mean for us? What exactly is the kingdom of God? When will it come? Is it already here? How will we know if it's here? How will we know if it's coming? Is this thy kingdom come a prayer for the second coming of Jesus? Is that what it is? Well, partly, but not fully. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that Jesus says that we should pray would come is the recognized, realized, actualized, righteous rule and reign of God over all things, in all time, and forever. That's what Jesus calls us to pray. I'll read that one more time. Because just to get a handle on this, and just to get maybe a wee bit excited about what Jesus calls us to. that the kingdom of God that Jesus said we should pray would come is the recognized, realized, actualized, righteous rule and reign of God over all things, in all time, and forever. Your kingdom come. So wherever we see the kingdom of God, wherever we see it not being recognized or realized or actualized, wherever his righteous rule and reign is not present in a reality, pray that it will be. And here's the thing. When Jesus calls us to pray this prayer, it's a prayer that will be answered. Why is it that we don't pray so much? Many of us feel that, well, I'm not sure if my prayers will even be answered. And anyway, I prayed about this and that, and my prayer wasn't, quote, answered. But Jesus calls us to pray like this. And part of the like this is to pray your kingdom come. And that prayer will be answered. So if you want to pray prayers that you know are absolutely going to be answered, pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray like that. Those prayers will be absolutely answered. And as we've been saying over the last few weeks, if our hearts are fully captured by our Father, then we will be drawn to the things that He loves. We will prioritize the things that He prioritizes. We will be captured by the things that He says should be the priority for our lives. But very often, I fear that we prioritize the second half of what we have known as the Lord's Prayer over the first half. We tend to gravitate towards the give us. We tend to lean towards forgive us, lead us, protect us, help us. Lord, give me a parking space, so on and so forth. We tend towards that. But Jesus is saying this is how you should pray. Prioritize the relationship you have with the Father. Understand how much He loves you. Understand that His kingdom is coming and you are to be part of it. If we are truly kingdom people, living and praying the kingdom, we can be sure that we are giving our lives to something that will last forever. Last forever. The kingdom of God is not a fad or a craze or a trend. It's something that will last forever. Isn't that wonderful to know that we are giving ourselves to this? I was up at Port Rush yesterday, the air show and all that, and going around the stalls. And I felt so sorry for a guy. There he was with his stall, shouting out desperately. Desperately trying to sell his fidget spinners. And I thought, oh, the poor guy. Just a wee bit behind trend. Just desperately, you know, two for a tenner or three for by the end of the day it would have been, you know, just take them off my hands so I don't have to take them home. These fads and these crazes, they come and they go and all the rest of it. But the kingdom of God does not come and go. It's here. It comes. It is coming. And it will come fully and forever. We are to pray with the full knowledge that it will be. Pray with faith that the kingdom of God is unstoppable. Do you believe that the kingdom of God is unstoppable? Or is there somewhere lurking in the back of our brains thinking, ah, well, I'm not so sure it is unstoppable? Listen, if we're not convinced that the kingdom of God is unstoppable, yeah, well, we will be sitting in a corner, you know, thinking, oh dear, wringing our hands, thinking, woe is us. The kingdom of God is absolutely unstoppable. God is supremely sovereign, absolutely sovereign. And we should pray with that understanding. You say, well, if kingdom of God is unstoppable and God is supremely wonderful and he's sovereign and all, what about all this chaos I see in the world? Well, three things this morning. How has the kingdom come? Past tense. How is the kingdom coming in the present? And how will the kingdom come in the future? How has the kingdom come? When we think about the kingdom of God coming, we need to know that God has never ceased to be the sovereign supreme ruler of all things. Okay? So we need to understand that. It's not that the devil is ruler. He rules the roost. And God has somehow, you know, trying to get a word in edgeways in the world. God has never vacated his throne. You understand that? He has never, for a second, vacated supreme, absolute sovereignty over all things. He never has done that. And he never will do that. It may not look like that, but the Bible clearly teaches that God is still on the throne. The kingdom of God has come. Why has the kingdom of God come? Because the kingdom of darkness was invited into this world through sin and rebellion. As Adam and Eve submitted to the lies and they bowed down to the deception of the devil, they invited chaos, death, and destruction into the world. And all that goes with a kingdom of darkness. That's how the kingdom of darkness came. Through humanity. Through rebellion. Through the belief of a lie. But we conveniently forget that and think, oh, well, this is God's fault. It's God's fault that the world is in a terrible mess. It's God's fault that people die of this or that or the other. And if he was loving and kind, why does he let this, that, and the other happen? I mean, so conveniently, so quickly forget that actually, when God created a world that was perfect, and he saw that all things were good and very good, until the day that Adam and Eve believed a lie and unleashed chaos into this world and unleashed a kingdom ruled by the devil himself. You think, well, if that happened, couldn't God just wipe out all signs of the kingdom of darkness from the face of the earth in an instant? Couldn't he destroy every hint of the kingdom of darkness wherever it was found? And it would be gone. Would you want that to happen? Think about it. Would you want God to destroy every place that there is even a hint of darkness still remaining? If you're serious about yourself, you will understand a kind of a deeper question here. Because evil and sin doesn't just run through the veins of, you know, ISIS or terrorists or bad people. It even runs through our hearts. And if God were in a moment to wipe out all signs of the kingdom of darkness from the face of the earth, would we be left? Not questioning our salvation for a second. All I'm saying is this, that God's kingdom has come, is coming, and will come. And God's kingdom needs to come in us, even us who are the people of God. What about your heart and mine? We may well know the Lord, but is it completely submitted to the rule of God? Is our mind completely surrendered to the sovereignty of our King? Do we think the things Jesus wants us to think? Do we say the things Jesus, our King, wants us to say? Do we react and respond and carry ourselves in the way that Jesus, our King, wants us to carry ourselves? I say thank God that this is a day of grace. It's a day of grace. We are in the kingdom. The kingdom is in us. But the kingdom hasn't fully come in us, as the kingdom hasn't fully come in the world. How did the kingdom come? I love, you know, and those who love Christmas, you know, love this. O little town of Bethlehem. Maybe we should sing it later. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. How silently. Folks, come on, if it was our kingdom coming, we want razzmatazz. We want Facebook. We want it out there. We want it blazoned in banners. We want everybody to know our kingdom's coming. Aren't we the cat's pajamas, the bee's knees? Look at us. Haven't we arrived? How silently, unnoticed by the world, he comes, the King comes, and the kingdom came in Jesus. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is. So when the righteous rule and reign of God breaks in, comes down, is seen and experienced on earth, our hearts rejoice. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? Jesus told a parable about the kingdom in Matthew 13, 31 to 32. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. A mustard seed, the smallest of all. We love the big, big stuff. Huge impact. Highly visible. We like getting noticed out there. God's ways are different. Don't despise the day of small things and small beginnings, because that's how God begins something so incredibly, magnificently huge called his kingdom. Matthew 3, verse 1 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, well, what was John's message? It was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn around. Align your thoughts with God's thoughts. Align your life with the life that God wants you to lead. Turn around. For the kingdom of heaven is near, and his kingdom is coming. So you better be in step with this kingdom. And later on, Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach the same message. Repent, turn around, think God's thoughts. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So the kingdom came in Christ. And I love that verse in Luke 11:20, where Jesus simply says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Just by the finger. Your dad ever do that? Your mom, teacher? Finger, such a powerful thing. Jesus, by the finger of God, go. And we fear the kingdom of darkness. And we get caught up and think, oh, the darkness is going to consume us. The darkness is reigning. The darkness seems to be everywhere. Where's the kingdom of God? We just feel like, oh, we're under pressure. The finger of God. Go. But the ultimate declaration of the kingdom and rule of God came in the utter defeat of the devil at Calvary. Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. The kingdom has come. The kingdom was promised to come in Christ. He came as a babe. He came, he lived a perfect life. Signs and wonders, miracles from God, declaring that he was in fact divine. And dying upon a cross, shedding his blood to triumph over death, hell, and the grave, and the powers of darkness. And yet we say, well, it's still happening. The battle was won at Calvary, folks. Make no mistake. The war continues. But the war has a conclusion that is already foregone. And what about the kingdom coming now? The kingdom comes as we, through the Spirit and by the Word of God, take all that Jesus said and did and live it out. And live it and breathe it and soak in it. The kingdom comes as we live in the kingdom and live out the kingdom rule of God. The kingdom comes as we obey and as we pray and as we surrender to the King in our lives. The kingdom must come in us before it can come through us. Every soul that is saved is God's kingdom coming. Every time we lift our hearts to God in believing prayer, his kingdom is coming. Every time we tell the truth and forgive others, pray for our enemies, his kingdom is coming. Every time we love one another, encourage one another, God's kingdom is coming. Every time we believe God, his kingdom is coming. You remember in Acts, Peter and John were arrested, taken into prison, and the captor said, listen, stop speaking in this name. It's too much trouble. Stop speaking and praying for folk and just stop it. And Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests had said. And when the community heard this, what did they do? Well, they didn't say, oh dear. They didn't say, oh, woe is us. They didn't say, oh, well, we better tone things down a little bit. They didn't say, oh, well, that, you know, the chief priests are pretty powerful people. We better be wise about this. And they didn't even pray for their own protection. They didn't say, Lord, protect our families and keep us safe. Or they didn't pray any of that. What did they pray? Well, they lifted their voices together. And they said, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And he goes on and further down, after they had prayed, and they said, Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That was kingdom praying. That's kingdom focus. That is God's priorities shaping this community. And it says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Kingdom comes through the people of God, in the people of God, as we declare the praises of God, as we declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful kingdom. And how about the future? How will the kingdom come in the future? I do believe that this is partly a prayer for the second coming of Jesus. Your kingdom come. Because that's the climax of the kingdom, is it not? That He comes. Listen to these words from Revelation. Revelation 12, 9 and 11. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Good praise for an amen there, but been hurled down. They overcame him. Who? The dragon. The devil, Satan, they who are they, the saints of God, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Hallelujah. His kingdom is coming. And his kingdom will see the end once and for all of the works of the kingdom of darkness. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God. This is the kingdom coming down. This is all that the kingdom is. This is all that we should live for, should pray for, should believe for, should speak and preach and do whatever we're doing for, that his kingdom would come down. Isaiah says it and prayed it, oh, that you would rend the heavens. Tear apart the heavens, God, and come down. Presence yourself among us. And isn't that the cry of every child of God? That you would do that, Lord. That you would come down from heaven. Presence yourself amongst us. Demonstrate your kingdom. Demonstrate your rule. Demonstrate your righteousness through the people of God. The new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Thy kingdom come. In part, that's what we are praying for. That very scripture there, to be fulfilled. When the righteous rule and reign of God breaks in, comes down, we experience his kingdom. Is this an ache in your heart? Is this a cry from your heart as a child of God? Lord, your kingdom come. The kingdom of God that Jesus said we should pray would come is the recognized, realized, actualized, righteous rule and reign of God over all things, in all time, and forever. That is what we are about as kingdom people. And though we do not yet see it, we will see it because we are part of it. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, this morning, you know our hearts better than we know our hearts. We know what should be. We know what your word declares. But very often we fall short of it. Because, Lord, there lurks within us a desire to still be ruler, to still rule and reign. But, Lord, we pray you'll give us the grace to vacate the throne of our hearts and our lives and have you reign supreme. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lord, let that be the cry of our hearts, Lord, that you would reign in us, heal our lives. Oh, Lord, let us demonstrate to this world what you are like. God, let us not fall for the lie that the darkness is all-powerful. The darkness is not all-powerful. The darkness is powerful, but you are all-powerful. And you have defeated the enemy at Calvary. It is through your blood, Lord Jesus, that we overcome. And by the confession of our testimony in the Word of God and in Christ himself, that we overcome. So encourage your people today. Help us, Lord, to understand that your kingdom is not a defensive kingdom. It is a kingdom that is advancing. Let us be part of it for your glory. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.